This is Sound the Shofar on Warn Radio. It is Shabbat and time for fellowship, the Word of God and rest. Join us now as we enter into Sound the Shofar on the Watchman Alert Radio Network. Greetings. Glad you could make it.
Greetings and welcome to Sound the Shofar with the Watchman and Tower. Tonight on the show, No Greater Love, Part 7, Love of God. We were without strength, unable to redeem ourselves. There he provided a way for us unto life. Stay tuned for more on this later. It is Friday, October 6, 2017, and we are glad you joined us. I am Tower, and this is Warn Radio, bringing you the truth of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. The readings in the Word this week are found in their tabernacles. And you want to go to Leviticus chapter 23, starting at verse 33 through 44. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 13 through 17. In the New Testament, you want to read John chapter 7, starting at verse 2 through 53. And then you go to Zechariah chapter 14, verses 16 through 19, and Revelation chapter 21, verse 3. Go to warn-usa.com or danaglinsmith.com to read the latest articles by The Watchman. Our featured posts this week are Perceived Truth, Loving Praise of Men. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. He that rejected me and receiveth not my words hath one that judged him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. That's Jesus Christ in John chapter 12. America, Mystery of Iniquity. The latest round of mayhem, murder, and national news reveals we are in the middle of the mystery of iniquity. The USA and its days of lawlessness are in full swing today. The news today is and has been the same. Then today, more of the same, bad news. The twilight of the dawning, America's twilight, the dawning, the trouble, and that which comes. Collision course, damn the torpedoes, full steam ahead. You can read those articles and more at warn-usa.com or danaglinsmith.com. Find us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Google+, BMO, Blog Talk, and on Twitter. You can get the latest updates on the WIBR, Warn radio shows, and more. To follow us on Twitter, go to #WatchmanIS216, #WarnRadio, or #WGS_Watchman. And now I welcome in the Watchman for Sound the Shofar. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Doing great. It's wonderful to be here again on a Friday.
Yep, we keep buzzing, you know, through these months. Don't seem to slow down any.
No.
And there's always something going on. I'll tell you the thing that, if you haven't been over to Jerry Golden's site, it'd be a good thing to do. I thought I sent you something today on that.
Let me look. I don't know.
But at any rate, maybe I didn't. But it was interesting because I've been writing about the manifestation of the mystery of iniquity. And You know, there's been some important others writing about what they see coming, including the rise of the spirit of Baal in America. That was Jonathan Cahn. He's a rabbi. And he calls it the rise of the spirit of Baal. I call it the mystery of iniquity, which pretty much it means the same thing. It's iniquity. Sin. It's lawlessness. But I'm more emphasizing the lawless aspect, which we see profusely. And it's going to continue. But over on Jerry Golden's site, he was writing about Donald Trump and a number of things, issues that were coming up. And then Mao's Israel sent us something about asking whether or not Donald Trump was Cyrus. Now, very interesting. Now, remember, Jerry Golden is a Messianic Christian, of course, and Mao's Israel, Messianic ministry. They know Christ, Yahshua. And we've been associated, not personally, but, you know, we like Moaz. I interviewed Ari many years ago. So we know of Mao's Israel. And they have a ministry and have had in Israel for a lot of years. But, you know, the thing that they're looking at is the fact that God put Trump in there. And it's interesting how all of these different people are looking at what is happening, you know. And so, folks, there's no doubt. You may think that America is just going to hell in a handbasket, and there's a lot of trouble going on and a lot of evil. But in fact, it all has, there is a plan, purpose behind everything, and we are heading to a particular place. And so, you know, like my mom used to say, you know, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You know, I mean, there's hope. And there's purpose, and there's redemption. And we are here to declare, thus saith the Lord. And it's not your purpose to save yourself. God looks after his own. He will save us. And matter of fact, when there's a little passage in Isaiah I like, you know, where it's a prophecy looking forward to the coming of the Lord. And it says, this is the Lord. I waited for him. This is the Lord. He will save us. And, you know, this is, I can see someone looking up in the sky and they see the Lord coming. And they say, this is the Lord. You know, he's coming. I've been waiting for him, and he's going to save us. You know, I can see people when I read that in Isaiah. Yeah. I can literally see that. And,
awesome.
You know, when you read that verse, you know, you can just see it. And that verse spoke to me many, many, many years ago. And every time, you know, I have an opportunity to think about it or meditate on it, you know, Isaiah is the one that wrote it, and it's just a great, great little scripture. And, of course, you get in the New Testament, and sometimes we miss a lot of stuff when it comes to, you know, the whole program. And we get caught up. But Jerry Golden definitely has a good article.
And that's, what's he talking about?
Well, Jerry Golden was relating everything to the end times and about how he had researched the colors of the Nazis. There's red and green and the eagle. You know, that's Nazis. Some of their main colors on their stuff, and it's also the same thing of the Palestinian, and he's actually goes back to the Mufti of Jerusalem, and how there is a plot, you know, But, you know, the thing of it is all this is ramping up. There is going to be that effort by the Palestinians who you know, came out of the Mufti, who actually got away with his crimes. He never did have to pay like Hitler and all the others have to pay now.
That's too bad. He should have.
Not to man, you know. He'll have to answer to God. But he was able to establish and do a lot of things, matter of fact, that is still going on today, that represents a force that wants to destroy Israel. And so this is the whole thing that Jerry was talking about the day and age. And he doesn't believe it's going to wait forever, that this whole thing is coming to a head. And then, of course, Mao's Israel's talking about, you know, is Trump, many Jews, many Christian, Messianic Jews and others have looked at Trump as being appointed by God and that he's in there for a purpose. And so it's in regard to Israel. So the article is about that. It's Ron Cantor, who is now the one in charge of Mao's Israel. He has a couple of really good books out as well, but he was talking about that. And you know, the whole thing of it is that stuff is getting ready to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Trump is in place. We have the enemy in place, which dates back to Hitler, to finish what Hitler started. Because the Mufti and those who followed him, they continue to declare the real Holocaust is coming. And because they intend to kill every Jew that they can. And so this is really literally where we're at today. We have the enemy set up. And both the Palestinians, now it's actually Hamas running that. And then, of course, you have Iran that's getting ready. And so you have all of these forces right in line. You have Trump right, you know, at the head of America where he can do things to help Israel. And so at the same time, America has enemies within its borders that seek to overthrow it. And see, this is how this works for an end-time scenario and also the lawlessness. And so we see the lawlessness surrounding Israel. We see the lawlessness in America. We see the lawlessness throughout Europe. We see the lawlessness in Kim Jong-il. So you have all of these things happening all at the exact same time right now. And
that's incredible.
Yeah. And of course, we've had the major eclipse, and not only the major eclipse, but there's a lot of signs that followed that, a lot of things that was going on. But we've had nothing but bad storm after bad storm since the eclipse.
Yep. And earthquakes.
Yeah. So, you know, you are, you know, if you're not understanding that, you know, we are, you know, it just like it, this thing is not going to wait forever. One day this thing's going to open up because we see, and it's not just me, as I said, Mao's Israel and Ron Cantor, who is with Mao's Israel. And of course, Ari and his wife, they all have articles and stuff out about stuff like this. You have Jonathan Kahn, you know, who, you know, is a rabbi, you know, a Messianic Jew, you know. So what you have in the whole nine yards is that, you know, people are looking at this and saying, you know, this really does look like it's shaping up, that we are getting close. It's not going to wait forever. It's just like it's right there, but yet it doesn't happen. But yet you see all the signs and you say, man, this can't keep doing this forever.
And I believe that a lot of the people that listen to us, probably most of them, understand what's going on as well.
Yeah. So to all those who read what I've been writing, you'll notice that there's a profound change in some of the things I've been writing. And that's goes with what the Lord's been putting in my heart. And the first of this year, when I came to 2017, I had this, I knew in my spirit that things were in a different level, that we were coming into this thing, and it was going to be evident. And it's just amazing how all of this is working out and going. And for people that want to have, you know, it all spelled out in detail, that's not going to happen. We're to live by faith. But we can know generally. We know that, you know, certain things, when we see the sign, we know, according to Scripture, how long it's going to be. When we see, the beast in Revelation 13, the minute he appears, and we can verify that that's who he is, we know, folks, absolutely, positively know, it's going to be 3.5 years until the coming of the Lord. That's according to Scripture. And biblical interpretation and what we look at, you know, as best as we can know, we know that there's 3.5 years from the moment we see him. We also know, you know, the sign in the end times to looking for the Lord when he comes in. And so all these things are in Scripture. And so, you know, we're not left without some kind of sign. We know about the mystery of iniquity, and I wrote about that this week. And it just happens all the time. Every week now, this thing is ramping up, and you can see this. This is classic what Paul was writing about when he talked about the mystery of iniquity. This is unlike at any other time, I believe, in the history of the world. Yeah, there's always been wars and things, but this is different. Right now, we see the whole world engulfed. We're all connected with the internet. We can fly by plane, you know, go by modern ship, you know, and just about every way that we have now, you know, we're talking about time travel. We're talking about robots taking over. We're talking about things that people used to only write about, and the people that wrote about them, others thought they were crazy. So we are in a time unlike any other time. Unlike. Absolutely. So
That's crazy.
That thing about Trump being Cyrus, it's in the Ma Was Israel newsletter they sent us. And, of course, you know, Cyrus was quite a character because he appeared on the scene and he enabled Israel. And, of course, that's exactly where Daniel was at the same time. He was in Babylon at the same time when all this happened. And so Cyrus made it possible for the Jews. He freed the Jews, literally. And he gave a commandment for them to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, you know, let them go back and live in their land, and let them have their temple. And so they see Trump as a type of that. And, of course, he's trying to type him out like that. They say, is he like a Cyrus? And he very well could be. He did appear on the scene. He fooled, him getting elected, totally fooled, you know, the Democrats and the rest of the people who are still mad about it. And, of course, this is something that the Lord would do anyway, is put in who he wants for his purposes.
Right.
And, of course, Trump wasn't a praying man when he first got in there, but then he became a praying man. And we also saw the testimony of others who said that he did accept Christ. But many of those around him say, you got to remember, he's a baby in Christ. He may be the president and may have a billion-dollar business, but he's just a baby in Christ. He, you know, he hasn't been redeemed, you know, so to speak, that long.
Yeah.
And so they point all these things out. So it's an interesting discussion, you know, when you look at that. I've said all along that the Lord had put Trump in there for a reason. You know, it doesn't mean the guy's perfect. That's not what we're talking about. The Lord knows he's not perfect. And he can be irritating because if you think you know what he's going to do, just wait a minute. You know, he's just, you know, that's what it is. He's in your face, you know, and he is a baby Christian. You can't expect him to be a seasoned, you know, everything's perfect type thing. You know, I pointed out that, you know, there's pictures of him surrounded by pastors praying for him. There's pictures, you know, there's evidence and stuff of his cabinet praying and having Bible studies. I mean, this is evident. This is in the White House, folks. Haven't seen this stuff in the White House in, I don't know the last time. Because I can tell you that it didn't happen during Obama's time. It didn't happen during the Bush administration, either one of them. It surely didn't happen during Clinton's time. So, you know, I mean, we could go way, 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 way back. Possibly never has it been like this. So there's a reason the guy's in there. And there's a reason they're all trying to overthrow him. There's a reason he has so much hate. And the hate is coming out of the pit of hell. Because they know, the devil knows that if he attacks Israel right now, Trump's right in there and he will back Israel.
Yep.
So right now there is a war going on that you don't see, and there's two wars. One is to totally destroy America so she can't help Israel, and the other one is against Israel. And all of this is coming together. And so while you think that prophecy is just going to watch Israel, it's not going to just watch Israel, but everything together is a cohesive unit, is how this is working out. So those are interesting points.
Yes, very.
So I don't think that, you know, we've got, November, December. You know, that's not very long.
Mm-mm.
And then we're in, you know, 2018. And, of course, the elections, you know, for the 2 years... aren't they going to go on in 2018? I think they are.
Yeah.
So people are going to be watching to see if a lot of these Republicans that are do nothing are going to get unelected and replaced by other Republicans.
They will do something.
I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. One thing I want you all to remember, Ken Clement has a prophecy concerning Donald Trump, and one of the main things he says is Donald Trump will be in for 2 terms. Now, this is important because Ken Clement has prophesied before, and it has been wrong. And I don't want to go into detail, but, you know, if we're talking about a true type Jewish prophet, it's never wrong. But I don't know Ken Clement, and he said what he said, and that's all there is to it. You know, I'm not a follower. I don't monitor his ministry. It's not my job. I ain't worried about it. But, you know, I was told by another particular individual that happens to be very reputable that said that's what he said. Which, in a court of law, that would be hearsay, but the source is very much up there. You know, he's not wrong. So we could put it class one source. At any rate, you know, we want to remember Ken Clement and the 2 terms, because that's important. And... you know, he said a number of other things, and, let me see. I think Jerry Golden even talked about him. Somebody did. Might have been in that one with the Cyrus article and Trump. I don't know. I read quite a few of them, but that...
Yeah.
So I find these things interesting because you and I monitor this stuff so much.
Oh, I know. It is.
And you look at all the violence, you look at all the stuff, and it's always the same. We're starting to see all this stuff. And, you know, America gets so used to all this.
You get desensitized.
You do. And so they just keep moving on. But the thing of it is, this is leading to a place. That's what I'm getting at. This is not the end, but it's not the beginning. We are seeing some things that are very, very important. And the way that America got shook up by the election of Trump really puts the onus that there's another power involved here. Mueller, of course, the one that's appointed in the Russian thing, he is having a few problems. There is a lot of stuff surrounding everything in that, you know, in our government that is just, it's just not operating the way it should. I think there's a lot of secrets up there. I think there's a lot of people that are downright dirty and wicked. I think there's people that by the buku that are just plain dishonest. And, I think they would stop at nothing in order to get what they want. So, we're on shaky grounds at best, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And so every day that you get, I always tell people, every day that you get, you need to thank the Lord. I would like to, grow old in my old age. You know, that's a misnomer, growing old in your old age. I want to grow young in my old age. But I don't want, I'd just as soon go find me a nice place, cabin, I've said it many times, and just take care of a few other things instead of having to deal with the end of the world. But this is what I do. Some people can, go tap out their bank account and go buy an island and, have a lot of fun. I know a lot of people that,
I think that gets boring after a while.
Well, you'd think it would, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And of course, our family came from an island. I always thought I wanted to go to an island. Then my dad told me, who was raised on an island, he said, well, the problem you have with an island, son, is that you can't go out and just drive around like you do here in our town. You can't just go out for a drive. Because most of the islands ain't that big, and you're going to come to the seashore. There's nowhere to go, so you got to get in a boat. So things are different in an island. And of course, if there's no food, no water, no nothing, you got to bring it in. And that's what happened as a result of all these
hurricanes.
Yeah. There was no food, no water, no nothing. It was all wiped out. So, at any rate, welcome to tonight's Sound the Shofar. On Sound the Shofar, the first 30 minutes, Tower and I kind of talk about a few different issues. And I had a number of things in my heart that I wanted to let go and share with you. We're going to get into our study here in just a minute or two. But this is a Friday night Sound the Shofar, and whenever you listen to this, we're glad that you listen. We're glad that you stop by. Don't forget,
Amen.
Thursday and Friday nights, 6:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, you can listen to us live. If you go by our websites, warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com, we have a big player in the front of the site there at the bottom, and that will come on when we're on live. It'll automatically start. And there are different kinds of chats we have available. I'm not a big chat guy. I'm usually on the show, but every time I've had extensive chats, it's really detracted from the study. So I really don't favor chats associated with Bible studies. It's like the pastor preaching in his church and giving everybody before he begins a notepad and a pencil and said, just draw and scratch and do whatever you want to do while I'm preaching. That don't work. You got to pay attention. And you do, you know, make notes. But so at any rate, that's where we're at tonight. What do you think, Tower?
I don't know. I'm glad it's Friday. I'm sorry for things the way the things are going on in the world. I would like to see it better, but we just have to put our hope and trust and faith in the Lord, knowing that He will bring us through.
Yep, that's what you have to do. Well, I'm going to start on this study now.
Okay, sounds good. I'll see you on the other side.
Okay. We are No Greater Love, Part 7, The Love of God. And that's what we're really talking about. And, of course, some of these studies kind of lap over a little bit. And so just hang in there, because we're going to be going through some stuff. And, you know, we talk about all this stuff that we've been doing. We were talking about peace last night on spiritual fruits. And the Lord coming gave us peace. This, you know, between us and our God. And we talked last night that while we were without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And last night, when we were talking about peace, that's how we got peace. Now, tonight, as we talk about no greater love, you know, the love aspect is there. You can put love, joy, peace, the three, you know, when you talk about the three main keys, when you talk about, actually another one, love, joy, peace, you know, love, joy, and peace. That represents what the kingdom of God is, and the kingdom of God is within you. And so, many times, I think we miss out, and maybe it's because we are so busy and so taken up with other things and so preoccupied that the love and the joy and the peace don't really get to manifest themselves, because we're so worried, so caught up with the affairs that's going on in the world. And that can happen easily. You know, Luke 21 through 34, 21, 34 through, 36, I believe it is. You know, in that, of course, it says, watch and pray that you be counted worthy to escape all these things that are going to come to pass. But in that, in the context of that, it warns against being caught up in the world. And, of course, we do get caught up. We get caught up paying bills. We get caught up just living, trying to get up enough sleep, trying to, you know, whatever you're doing. You know, we get caught up, and we get busy, and we have kids, and, you know, you got friends, and there's problems, and then you've got the social problems, and then you've got the murder, you know, this thing that happened in Vegas, you know, it's just everything cries for attention. But see, what the Lord, you know, wants you to do, and that is you need to focus on Him. You need to take time to separate. You know, there's a lot of scriptures talking about the Lord separating the wheat from the chaff in the judgment, from, you know, the true believers from the false. And so, you know, for us as Christians, we also have to separate the chaff from the wheat. You know, the true things that we do every day that include things for God. And then there's all the rest of it that's just chaff or fodder. It just doesn't make any difference. They just are there to either cause problems or fill up your day. And it's the same way that if you had, if your house was on fire and you could take one thing out of it, what are you going to take? You're going to grab everything, you know, you know, that's the same kind of thing when we're looking at your life and what do you consider important. And one thing that I think that Romans 8:28, and it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, the way you get called according to his purpose is to be truly born again, to have truly received him, John 1, to truly be born again of the Spirit, John chapter 3, and also to have confessed your sins. And you can get in Romans 3 all the way to Romans 7, and that'll tell you about that. In other words, you really truly know him, and you walk in him. And he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You do what he says. And so you love him, and you love him, and it shows because you're doing what he wants you to do. You're obeying what he says you should be doing. But see, this scripture that Paul wrote the Romans, he says, and we know. Not that we think, we know. Now see, being an apostle, he can't lie. And if he made a habit of going around and lying, the Spirit of God wouldn't be manifest in his life. The miracles wouldn't be manifesting. But he says, we know. Now see, you and I need to know. And that comes from experience. You need to know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that who are the called according to his purpose. Now, if you put the Lord first, you have a purpose, and, you know, I want to, you know, be a believer. I want to walk in these last days. I want to glorify you, Lord. That's a purpose. But all things work together for good to them that love God. And sometimes when we get into certain problems and things happen and events, you look at it and you say, well, you know, how can they all work together for good? I didn't like that. But see, that God is the one that's painting the tapestry. He's the one that's putting it together. You don't see the whole thing. And that's the purposes of God. See, you may not know the purpose. 90% of the time, 99.9, you probably don't know his purpose. You know the end time of what the scripture tells us the purpose is, and that's be conformed to the image of Christ. But there are a lot of things in there when we talk about that. And at verse 29 of that says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And see, we, the minute we became saved, God predestinated or determined all those that would be born again would go through a process to be conformed to the image of his son. And because if you're going to be the firstborn among many brethren, Christ was the first of the firstborn from the dead, raised from the dead in this aspect. He was in the beginning. He is Alpha and Omega and everything in between. And in him did all the Godhead bodily exist in him. And so when he came, and he died on the cross. I mean, he really died. He was fully God and fully human. And so when he was raised from the dead. He is the first fruits, we call it. And of course, all those after him follow. Second fruits, third fruits, and on. Everybody is part of that fruit. And we have been called to that end. Now see, all that flowed out of the purpose of God. Purpose of God can be affected to us because of his mercy towards us, and also the fact that we availed him of that by believing, and because we believed, it was imputed unto us for righteousness' sake. Therefore, you know, we can look at this and we can say that, you know, all things work together for good. And the first, you know, and verse, this whole thing puts it together that if we get down a little bit, Paul gets into the nitty gritty of what he's talking about. See, because there was a purpose for Paul. The Lord had called him to take the gospel to the Gentiles. Now, you and I, we may not be called to take the gospel to the Gentiles, but there's something else that he's called you for, whatever that may be. But see, you and I live in the end of days, so there's a lot of other issues here as well. And that's why I always discuss, you know, what I call the marching orders in Revelation, which one of the first ones is Revelation 12:11. That's the bottom line that you need to remember. And they overcame him, meaning they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb. They are truly saved, the word of their testimony, and they loved their lives not unto the death. Now you notice that may be the unsavory part. They love their lives not unto the death. And so what have we seen, 2014, 2015, many Christians who were martyred? We see in Revelation 6, the seals. And there's a whole bunch of martyrs there. And there's going to come a time when that amount of martyrs are going to be fulfilled. And that part of it will be over. But we're not there yet. And so there's a lot of things right now in this world that are dangerous, especially to Christians. And it's going to get more dangerous. We've got the dark one coming. We got all hell getting ready to break loose, even more than it is now. You're going to have the heavens shaken. You're going to have the earth shaken even more. Just read Isaiah chapter 24. I call it Isaiah's Apocalypse. Gives you a little idea. But see, in all of this, you know, let's take the words that Paul, because Paul was persecuted, him and his group that used to go around. And he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. But he says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, or powers, or things present, or things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now I believe that. Now the thing of it is that there are things that you could go through. Now, Scripture does say, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. But Paul says, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. See, because simply put, the Lord said, I've not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. He says, do not fear them who can kill the body, but fear him who can kill the body and destroy the soul. Yea, fear him. And this has been a threat out there ever since the time of Christ. And so when we talk about no greater love, you have to understand in the context of what we're talking about. In the time, and especially going through these verses here, in the Roman Empire and as a Christian believer, the new group of believers that had been born again, there's a lot of Gentiles coming in. And, of course, you know, the Jews did not like this sect as they looked at it. So they did everything in their power to follow the chief apostles around and cause trouble for him, including Paul. But the problem with the Jews is Paul was so good at what he did and so smart, they could never best him in a scripture contest, you know, just talking and trying to convince him, because he always won. And so they resorted to follow him around and try to find a way to get him killed, thrown in jail, or whatever they could. Now, that tactic has never ended. And today we see in various countries, even Muslim countries, the tactic there is to make it totally illegal for Christians to do anything, because they're afraid that people get redeemed. And people do get saved. And many times the Christians haven't done anything. They're just having church and trying to live and stay alive and try to stay out of jail because there's so many enemies around. But what many people don't understand is that God is in the business of saving people who want to see him. So there's Muslims that get saved. And a number of others, not just Muslims. So this is the end times. This is how this thing works out. And we are not given a spirit of fear. But see, this is where the love comes in at. This love is shed abroad in your heart. This love will not let you down. This love will see you through the times when you are going through these things, peril or tribulation or distress. There is a place that you can sit before God. There is a time when you can seek him. And if you seek him with all your heart, you know, he will meet you there. And so our sustenance, you're not going to touch, see, or feel. It's going to come from the inside. You're going to seek him. You're going to seek him with all your heart, mind, soul, and spirit, and you will find him. And this power of what we're talking about comes into you, and it's there through the Holy Spirit in your life. But nothing, even when they kill you, your spirit will live. And your body has to die anyway. But you're going to get a new body. You're going to have a new life. You're going to have a new reward. You're going to have a new kingdom. The earth is not going to be like this forever. The enemies are not going to be like that forever. ISIS is not going to be around forever. Boko Haram is not going to be around forever. Al-Shabaab, Al-Qaeda, the Taliban are not going to be around forever. Antifa, who wants to destroy America, is not going to be around forever. Many of those who are wicked that breathe out slaughterings against Christians, many of those who breathe out rebellion against America, and those who are trying to breathe out slaughtering against Israel, these enemies are not going to live forever. Their time is limited. They will be cut down. And their time on this earth will be as a vapor in the long run, because they will not inherit a kingdom. They will not inherit anything other than suffering and torment, and then they'll be thrown into the lake of fire. It will be a smoke that'll go up forever. They will never, ever inherit what you're going to inherit through Christ Jesus. So Paul is saying here plainly and in your face that all things work together for God, for good. There is no way that anybody on the face of this earth, in hell, in heaven, below the earth, in the earth, from some spaceship, no matter who they are, no matter where they are, nobody, no power, no way, anyway, nothing, nobody, nilch, zilch, nada, forget it, nobody can destroy you. They can kill your body, but they can't separate you from the thing that God has done in your life, and that is the love. And that love is in you, and God loves you, and there's no way anybody can separate you. Now, the devil wants you to believe that, and he will work overtime to get you dismayed and discouraged. But I'm here to tell you tonight, you need to look at the bigger picture. I'm here to tell you tonight that this is more than just what you see before you. It's more than just the news. The news is just fodder, folks. The people in the news that think they're so smart, they're not so smart. All the people that have all the money and have all the riches, and they think, well, you know, since I'm so rich, I'm the smartest guy on earth. No, you're not. Matter of fact, you're pretty dumb. And the reason you're dumb is because you think your riches is where it's all at. Riches and money and mammon is the stuff. I'll tell you, that stuff is so worthless. It's not even paved, pavement material for heaven, because the pavement material is 100% gold. Now, we can't create 100% gold, but 99.9%. If you could get pure gold on earth, it would be 100% and it would be clear as glass. That is pure gold. There's nothing on this earth that we can have pure, because there's sin in this world. You cannot know what a perfect body is like that assimilates all of its food. A body that is not going to sweat. A body that moves through time and space like you've never seen. A body that will heal itself and live forever. Yes, those things happen. Those things are going on. You have angels that can appear. They can do things. They can move around at the slightest commandment from God. And they don't need a phone. They don't need a cell phone. They don't need, you know, anything. They know. So, folks, this is where we're at when we talk about no greater love. Now, the other side of this, and Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians 16. And this, of course, is at the end of 1 Corinthians. And he says, all brethren greet you. Greet you one another with a holy kiss. The salutation of me, Paul, with my own hand. He wrote this with his own hand. And I like these greetings. They're personal. This is not a greeting. It is a greeting, but it closes out the chapter. These are the final things that he wants to tell him. Greet the brethren. Now, the one thing he says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha, accursed. They're accursed, but even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. You see, this is the way it is. If they're not going to love the Lord, he's going to be accursed. They're going to be anathema. Now, how do we react? Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. We want him to come. If these people, and the world's full of them, America's full of them, they don't want to believe, they want to serve other gods, they're going to be anathema. Let them be anathema. Let them serve other gods. But as for me and my household, I will serve the Lord. See, and this is the key. You need to have a perspective in your life that your faith does not depend upon what the world does, what America does, what your neighbor down the street does, what your relatives do. It is what you do between you and your God. And because you believe, you're not anathema. Because you believe all things work together for good, because you love him. Because you know the Lord and love him, it doesn't matter. There's no way they can kill you. They can kill your body, but you're going to get a new one. They can't steal your soul. They can't stop you from being redeemed. You can, but they can't. Now, when you look at what's coming or where we're at today, there's a lot of fear involved for people. And you need to look at the Lord and not look at the fear. Not look at all the various scenarios, because you, frankly, don't know them all. But you can know what we talked about tonight. That nothing is going to separate you from the love of God through Christ. Nothing. and that you can believe, just as David said, I would have fainted unless I could see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. See, he would have fainted. He would have not made it if he couldn't have believed that in the midst of everything he was doing, he would find the goodness of God on his side. He would find that mercy. He would find that provision. He would find a God that wanted to take care of him, that knew what he was going through, and was going to make a way for him. Now, you see, I opened the door to tomorrow with faith, having made the choice many, many years ago. And I am not going to fear what men may do. I am not going to fear what happens to America. I'm not going to fear. For God has not given me a spirit of fear, but love and power and of a sound mind. This is a God that took care of the children of Israel in the desert for 40 years. You know, and he fed them, he clothed them, he got them through there. You see, and if he can take care of them, he can take care of you. Now see, the good thing about no greater love is there's no greater love. And this is the thing that people may have a hard time understanding. But see, you can't measure his love. Now see, in our heart and life, you know, we can be filled with his love, but that's not all the love he has. That's all the love you can hold because you're finite. But when you get in his presence, then you will know the fullness of his love and the fullness of his peace and the fullness of his joy. Now, you see, in the end of days, this no greater love is going to play a very big role. And I've talked about this extensively. And the reason I do is because this is the premier thing that's going to happen in America and the world. In verse 8 of 2 Thessalonians 2, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Now see, these three verses are the end result of this age, of what happened. See, they're up till the time that the Lord comes, they're going to have a rule of darkness. They are going to be full of lies, and they are going to be able to be deceived because they have rejected the love of the truth, and that's the gospel. They reject the truth that God has had out there, and frankly, all the while that America's even been America, there's been people preaching it. Yet today we got people that will lose their souls because they live in America and they don't believe it anymore. But see, there's the love of the truth is one of the biggest things, and they're going to reject that. And that's why the devil, Revelation 13, when we talk about the beast and his other beast, we call him the false prophet, there's going to be a war against the believers, about the saints at that time. And they'll be walking in the faith and testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ and keep the commandments of God. They will be walking close to the Lord, and he will be making war against them. And make no mistake, he's been making war against the believers for a long time. But see, you're in a time of deception. You're in a time when people in the rule of darkness will be able to convince people that the Christian God and their Savior, Jesus, Yahshua, is nothing but a delusion. And that it is a lie. And they will show you what the real lie is, but to them it's the truth. See, this is the end of days. This is what the end of days is all about. And it says quite plainly, verse 12 of that, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Part of that unrighteousness is unbelief and going their own way and rejecting, calling God basically a liar, not believing that he gave us of his only begotten son. Now, see, that's how they're condemned already, you know, even before they get here. And John 3:16, 17, 18, and 19 tell you that. Now, the problem with that is almost all Americans, I mean, many of them can tell you what John 3:16 is. Probably even the entire world can tell you that. But not many read beyond that in the context and understand that there's major warnings associated with John 3:16. And in fact, the Lord says people are not going to be that way at all because they're going to love darkness rather than light. Well, we will have the darkness on the earth. And that's the darkness that they're going to prefer to the gospel and will not come to the light, and they will refuse to believe it. Now, this is the delusion, and even today it is there in part. But it's going to be even worse when this dude stands up and he does what he's going to do, and people will flock to him. And people talk about the mark happening today or tomorrow. It's not going to happen today or tomorrow, folks. It's going to happen, but it isn't going to happen until this dude stands up. That's where it's at. And I'll tell you, I've got messianic friends, and I've got people that'll send me an email, and they've been waiting for the rapture for, you know, forever. You know, I want to write him a letter back and say, well, good luck there, you know. It ain't going to happen the way you think it's going to happen. It's going to be a while, and you're not going to be taken out of this. You know, and I could just say, well, frankly, because you don't even deserve it. But see, we've got it so messed up anymore in modern doctrine in the Christian church that a majority of them, that's what they're believing now. And you couldn't tell them any different no matter what. And people get mad when you tell them that. Okay, well, you know, do what you want to do. If you want to believe in it, fine, it ain't going to bother me none. But see, this is the battle. See? And when we talk about no greater love, I'm just not telling you that this is no greater love just because, oh, God is love. Everybody knows God is love. I hear it from sinners all the time. People refusing to repent and follow the Lord. And what do they say? Well, God is love. He's not going to throw us in hell. No, he's not going to throw you in hell. You're going to throw yourself in there because you rejected his love. You see, there's no reason for you to go to hell. No reason for you to be judged and found guilty. Because God so loved the world, he sent his son. His son died for all that they might be saved. But see, you love that darkness. And it distorts your view. And then you get stubborn about it. See, because society, oh, we know about God is love. And then, of course, you've got all the Muslims who believe, well, God doesn't have a son. And then you have a lot of the Jews who's the same way. Now, see, one of these days the truth is going to come out. One of these days the Jews are going to find the truth and the true love, and it's going to be coming out of the fire of the end of days. Yes, Israel is going to be attacked. Yes, many of them are going to be killed. There will be a remnant coming out of there. The Lord will appear and deliver them. I'm telling you that this is not over, and it's not over for America. And when we talk about love, I'm saying it for a reason, because enough of this pablum stuff that says, oh, God is love, everything's going to be great. No, things are not going to be great. Matter of fact, it's going to be hell. And unless you get this down in your soul, the love that I'm telling you about tonight is in your soul and in your heart, and it's there because you put God first, because you put determined that you're going to do what he wants you to do, that every moment you look to him, you seek his face, you acknowledge your way before him in all your ways. That's what this is about. No greater love is about a love that you probably have never even seen or felt before. And it's coming out of the Father. He sent his Son. Dear God in heaven, in Revelation chapter 2, at the church of Ephesus, He says, I know thy works, thy labor, thy patience, and how you cannot bear them which are evil. And that sounds about like today. We can't bear them that are evil, but this isn't associated with the church. I mean, people that say they're good, but yet they're evil. And they're surrounded by evil. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not. See, this is associated with apostles as well, and have found them liars. The apostles are liars. You've had borne and had patience for my name's sake, labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou left thy first love. Now see, this is the condemnation here to Ephesus. You've left your first love. Now, if we look at the book of Ephesians, it's one of the best gospels, I mean, the best epistles that we have in the Bible. I mean, it is terrific. There is meat in the book of Ephesians, and especially when you get to chapter 6, and, you know, you find there how to get into spiritual warfare. I mean, dear God in heaven, it's a great book, but yet now we're talking about the people to Ephesus, and they've left the first love. They have found the apostles, and that they were not apostles, and they've labored for the Lord. They don't like evil, but yet their love is not where it needs to be. And so I'm speaking to you tonight, and we're talking about no greater love. Now, see, God has no greater love for you. But the question is, what kind of love do you have for him? The Lord himself said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. But see, most of the Gentile church in America are so afraid of commandments. All they can think about is 634 or so odd commandments of the law. And they're afraid they're going to go to hell because they keep the commandments. And that's not even scriptural, but that's what they've been taught through people, especially Gentile preachers who really don't understand the law because they've never studied the law and they have no idea about the law. And then they get that from Paul the Apostle, who himself actually kept the law, but he was also saved. Now you try to figure that out. I've also explained that. See, the problem of it is, the law is not going to send you to hell. It's through the law, Paul says, that we know what sin is. You have to know how to handle the law. We're not justified by the law. We're justified by grace through faith because we follow him. And part of that gives us all this fruit, the love and all the rest of it. So God is saying to you, what kind of love do you have for me? I've got a lot of love for you, but I want to know what your love is. And your love has left me. And I'm here to tell you that you're not going to get up there because you need to repent. You need your love back. He says right there to Ephesus, remember, therefore, from whence you're fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I'll come unto you quickly. Remove your candlestick out of his place, except you repent. These are people that are religious. They're in the church. They've done a good work. They've left their first love, and the Lord says, you need to repent, or I'm going to remove your candlestick. Now, you don't want that. And I'm telling America, and I'm speaking to those that listen, that you need to take a check on that love quotient that you have for the Lord, and you measure it by obedience. Now, if you want to go out and find some foo-foo preacher and fodderite, go right ahead. But I'm here to tell you what Scripture is and where it's going, and I can tell you based upon the Word of God and with the assurity of the Lord Almighty in the name of Jesus Christ, with the witness of the Spirit of God, that this is the gospel truth, and you'd better listen. Now, the American one that we look at a lot of time, of course, is Laodicea. And so we talk about no greater love again. God has no greater love. He sent his son for you, provided a way for you. He's done all this for you. And all he asks is that you reciprocate. Well, here we have the rich and in need of nothing church. You know it real well. And he says, I know thy works. Now, you see, we look at the nice big building. You know, and we have carpets on the floors. And I've told you this story before. Tower and I was at a meeting, national meeting, of a major, major ministry. One that we were part of many, many years ago. And I had gone there to go through an ordination type thing process. And the building was huge. 20-some thousand people went to church. It was bigger than our most towns in Wyoming, you know. And we went there, and we met this brother from Africa. He was also there, going to be ordained, and, you know, or brought into the ministry of this ministry. And we were talking with him, and we were over by the pop machine, and I think it had to do with how do you get the pop machine working, because he couldn't figure out how to do it. I think that's what it was. I can't remember all the details, but I do remember, you know, as he was talking with us, he says, "This is amazing. This place is so big." And he says, "You got clothes on the floor." And Tower and I looked at one another, and, you know, we looked out, we realized that he was calling, you know, the carpet clothes. This is a guy from Africa, you know, in these guys don't have that. They have dirt floors. They don't even have cement, most of them. You know, but it's clothes on the floor. You're so rich, you throw clothes on the floor and we can walk on them. We can't do that in Africa. You can't do that in a lot of places. You see, but you get in America and we judge our love and our success quotient by how big our ministries are, how many people are coming. And I know, folks, I've been there, I've done that, okay? And I've worked with ministers, and I can tell you, we've had some dandies. I mean, that person could preach, you know, for an hour straight, and he wouldn't have one hair out of place. And he'd walk down the aisle, he'd be perfect. Best looking preacher you'd ever seen in your life. I see a lot of them. They're on TV too, man. But you go overseas and see some of them anointed brothers and sisters running around, and they smell, they stink, they haven't had a bath for a while, their hairs are messed up, you know, but they got miracles and signs and wonders. So what I'm telling you is it's in the heart. And see, America, that's what we do. We count everybody, you know, that comes to church to get the numbers up, make sure that we're growing. You know, and we have beautiful pews with comfortable cushions, and we have clothes on the floor. We've had it all, folks. And the Laodicean represents that part. See, and it says, "Because you say, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing." See, that is the comfortable Western church. And that's when I say Western, I include Europe. Right now, Europe isn't comfortable anymore. Why? Because they're backslid. And in many cases, there's not even churches left. Even the big edifices. Yeah. Most of the big edifices have been closed down. Many of them have become a place for Muslims to meet. That's what's happening. Right now in the world, when we talk about Muslim governments, we talk about a Sharia government, a Muslim-run government. There's more Muslim government nations than any other nation, any other group in the entire world. Today, if you put together all the nations and counted up the ones that were Muslim and they were Muslim-run and it had a Muslim society, you would have more Muslims than you would any other. Now, see, most of the Christians with their head in the clouds don't understand how close they are when the Muslims start telling you that we're going to take the world over. Right now, because of all the influx of Muslims throughout Europe, it's just a matter of time and all of Europe will be Muslim. It's just a matter of numbers, folks. It's guaranteed to happen, and they're biding their time. And if you get up in Scandinavia, it'll be the same thing. Africa right now, it's virtually taken over. And the only ones they've got left, Russia's being threatened, but Russia is pretty staunch still as that socialist thing. North Korea's fighting it, and China has Muslim, and they fight that. So make no mistake about it. When I'm talking about Christians, I'm telling you here, we need to understand things. And just saying, you know, there's no greater love and saying, well, God loves us, you need to have your love quotient checked at the door. And understand that God said to the rich and increased with good and had need of nothing church, that simply put, you know, all the things that you think are so important are not. Matter of fact, you're really wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Now, he doesn't tell them that to make them mad. He tells them that because he loves them, because he doesn't want to have to judge them. See, why did he write the letters to these seven churches? He wrote them because he loved them. He didn't want them to be judged, but they were found wanting. He has to tell them because he wants them in his kingdom. That's how much he loves them. So he tells them, I counsel you to buy me a gold trident fire, which is the smelter of the Lord in the land of the living, which is tribulation, which is trouble, which is, you guessed it, the great tribulation. So I'm here to tell you that many of the churches and Christians are going to go through the tribulation and many of them are going to die. And you ain't going to want to hear that. But it says here, no greater love. And I can hear the Western church saying, well, if God loves us, why do we have to go through it? Well, if you love God so much, why are you so worried? If you love God so much, aren't you willing to do anything? If you love God so much, Revelation 12:11 is right what you want to do, because it says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Dying for the Lord has nothing to do with it. They're fine, because they're connected to him. That's one of the ways you can tell what your love quotient is towards God. If you continue to walk in fear, then that true love of God is not fully shed abroad in your heart. You need to repent. You need to get that love in there. You need to change how you're looking at stuff and let the love of God come into you as never before, because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and of a sound mind. Those are the things you need right now in these end times, because no greater love means just that. God has no greater love for you, but he also wants to shed his love and his power into your innermost being so that you can make it. Now, let's go down here a little bit. I've got a few scriptures in here, and it's kind of interesting. Matthew 22:41. The Pharisees, of course, was always gathered around the Lord, and always trying to catch him with some question he couldn't answer. He said, what do you think of Christ? Whose son is he? And they said unto him, the son of David. He said unto them, how then doth David in the Spirit call on him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thy enemies thy footstool. If David call him Lord, how is he his son? No man was able to answer him his word, neither does any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. The Lord said unto my Lord, the Father said unto my Lord, sit on my right hand. Now you see, we've got two lords here. And the Father sent his Son. And it was through what the Father was doing in Christ that it enabled Christ to totally overcome and make the enemies his footstool. And then the Lord took that anointing and that power and is going to put down all the enemies for the Father. That's what he's going to do. That's why he's coming back. So you have a picture of the Father and the Son here. In Psalm 110, now see, that was Matthew. Now see, the scripture comes out of Psalm 110. A psalm of David, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thy enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion, rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. And so that's where that fulfillment of that prophecy came from. And so when we go a little further here, we find in Romans 1, verse 3, Paul writes this, concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Now that's very important. That's a prophecy that's very, very important. Because that's who he is, the seed of David. That's why he's coming back and he's going to be sitting on the throne of David. And he will be fulfilling all the promises that God gave to David about his seed sitting on the throne. Now, we were in Habakkuk some time ago talking about faith. Now, in Romans chapter 1, 16 through 17, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Now you see, this is one of the most important things that I can tell you, is that living by faith is very, very, very important. Taking this by faith. And also, what that does, that takes away from the aspect, you know, of worry. Because if you're full of faith, you don't worry. Now, there's a lot of things that are going to happen. But for you and I are to live by faith. And what that does, that puts the onus on the Lord. You're not going to deliver yourself. God is going to deliver you. The Lord will make a way for you. And that is so important, that you don't have to run around and find a way out. But what you do is fast, pray, and seek the Lord. Now you see, there is a story that goes around about Peter, his martyring. He was leaving Rome at the time, and really a lot of scholars didn't know exactly if Peter ever made it to Rome. And this story of his martyrdom has been passed around as tradition for a long time. But he was leaving Rome, fleeing the persecution. And I think it was Nero that was doing it. And he met the Lord going back into Rome, and he asked the Lord, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm going back to be crucified." And with that, Peter said he knew that the Lord, that he needed, Peter needed to go back in and face whatever it was. And Peter was martyred, and he wouldn't be crucified right side up. That's why he was crucified upside down. He was perfectly comfortable with that. Now, many of us worry whether or not we could make it. We may never see that level of persecution. The Lord may wait before all of this comes to pass, but we are living in difficult, perilous times. Renew your faith. Renew your love in Him. These are admonitions tonight, not to condemn you, but to let you see the truth and let you get to that point where you will seek your God and you will find His love, and His love will find you. That's what this is about, folks. I don't condemn you. The word I preach, the word of God, if there's any condemnation, it's in that word. That's conviction. That's because God loves you. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Bless your people tonight or whenever they hear this, Lord. Speak to their hearts, and in Jesus' name I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word in Jesus' name. Okay, Tower. And again, we are on a Friday night. Sound the shofar. Go ahead.
Good grief. Good grief. Is it already over? I was enjoying what you were talking about, and now it's over. Disappointing.
Yeah, that's well, we've got a next week we'll wrap it up because we have some more stuff, and what can we say?
I don't know.
Yes, amen.
Glad we got to hear it.
Well, at any rate, we look to the Lord, folks.
And yes, we do.
That's it. Doesn't matter what the rest of the world does, as long as we look to the Lord. Live your life, love God, serve Him with all your heart, seek Him with all your heart. Let the world do what it's going to do. You just look to your God.
Amen.
And let's see, next week, what are we doing next week?
Part 9 on Thursday.
Yes, and we should finish this up next week, but the following week we are going to take a little vacation, and right now we're still trying to work out whether we're going to be able to have any shows that week or not. But we did take some time off during the eclipse. That was to cover the eclipse and do some of that stuff, and we posted that. Now we're looking at some definite time away. We haven't been away for, oh, I can't remember, a long time. Yeah. So at any rate, we'll be informing you what we're doing, but we'll be back the following week. And really, the only way you're going to know about what's going on is if you listen to the shows. That's the way it is.
So next week, next Thursday for Battle Lines, join us for part 9 of Spiritual Fruits, War of the Worlds, and Sound the Shofar next Friday on the 13th, part 8 of No Greater Love.
Yep. Well, we're going to say goodnight, folks. It's about that time.
Enjoy your Sabbath rest. God be with you and bless you. Thank you for all you do. We truly love you and pray for you and thank God for you.
Yep, absolutely.
Good night, everybody.
Yes, good night. Shalom. We thank you for joining us today on Warn Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.